Well, I think, you know, it was a collaborative effort, but when you're looking at things that I'm proud of personally was the five magic gymnasiums that have opened and are going to be wonderful for our young people as well as our older people to use. The water ordinance, which was very far-reaching, tiered water rates, conservation, landscaping, new landscaping rules, workforce housing, being part of the medical city, assisting UCF as their commissioner on so many things, their stadium, their master plan, the Research and Development Authority, a load of things.
You mentioned the public venues, the new arena, the Performing Arts Center, and the Citrus Bowl. Now it looks as if the county is going to have some trouble coming up with the money to fund at least two of those projects, the Performing Arts Center and finishing the Citrus Bowl. In your view, having sat on the commission while most of this was going on, what do you think Mayor Jacobs and the commission and other area leaders can do to move those projects forward now?
Tom, it has more moving parts than a Swiss watch, quite frankly. They're trying to pare it down, build it incrementally. Then you have the chance that tourist tax dollars will start moving again, moving upward. And then you have what apparently is now a growing competition between the Performing Arts Center and the Citrus Bowl people. So a lot of dynamics there. The world changes, and it's going to be very interesting and challenging for the new administration.
Now, originally three public venues were proposed, the Performing Arts Center, the Citrus Bowl, and the Amway Center for the Magic. So far, only one has been finished. By all accounts, it's a beautiful state-of-the-art facility. It costs about $480 million, the most expensive public building in Central Florida history. But considering that we still haven't found a way to get the other two projects finished, was it worth it?
You know, absolutely, to my mind. And one must understand the difference between the hat the county wears and the hat the city wears. The county's participation in those venues was when and if the money flows. And again, we didn't put our ad valorem tax base. Our taxpayers are not at risk. It is strictly the bed tax money, and it did stop flowing. So we got one of the venues up, and the mayor, Mayor Jacobs, and the new commission are going to have to work with the city on when and if they're able to fund the Performing Arts Center.
And during the negotiations with the Magic as the Amway Center was being put together, you were able to get the team to build five gymnasiums around the county for public use. Tell us how that came about.
There was a shortfall. We were 10 days away from the vote, and it was my belief that the Magic should kick in some extra money. I had proposed 2 years before as part of Mayor Crotty's initiative that we build five gymnasiums. That was when we had a good tax income. We had to scrap those. So I went to the Magic and said, look, if you can build five gymnasiums, it would be great PR for you. It would be wonderful for this community, and that would make up the differential, at least enough for me to get that done.
I want to talk to you about the Medical City Complex at Lake Nona Innovation Way. It's one of the other significant developments that came about during your tenure on the commission. But a proposed residential and commercial development in that area, the so-called Innovation Way East, became very controversial. You voted for it. The commission voted it down. Why do you think it was rejected? And do you still think it was a good proposal?
Yes, we were lacking a member. We only had six members, and it died 3-3. Again, a very complex presentation, a very complex piece of business before the commission. What I found most difficult in my 6 years was explaining complex votes to the public. This was part of the Innovation Way a project that we worked for years on. We had more rules than the old Soviet Union central planning. We had jobs, homes linkage. We had mass transit. We had land conservation ordinances. This was one piece of it where the proposers proposed to build an interchange, put $10 million for a new research park up, give UCF the land for a research park. Again, it was a balancing act. You had to weigh whether or not that interchange and the other things that the proposers would do was worth it. It wasn't perfect. It was a compromise. I was for it. And again, lots of misconceptions. People thought they were going to build 20,000 homes immediately. Those homes would have only come over the next decade as jobs were produced out in that area.
As jobs are produced in that area and the area continues to grow, we will still have that problem. If we do attract people here to work in those complexes, they're going to need someplace to live.
Absolutely.
And those developers have said that they will come back to the county commission with that project. How do you think that deal could be structured? How could it be developed in a way that the next time it would be acceptable?
I think that the real hink in that particular project was how close they were getting to the econ with 400 of the mini homes that they had proposed. I didn't like it either. It was very important to them, and it was a take it or leave it sort of thing. Again, three of us felt it was worth the compromise. Three didn't. There are other proposers out on Innovation Way. Again, everyone in this community, from the newspaper to the public to the commission, was all for Innovation Way. It's going to come. It's the wave of the future. It's well planned out. It is from the airport to the university. It is supposed to be our high-tech corridor, and it is a great concept, but it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of capital to get that off the ground, so it's something that will happen over the next 20 years.
You've referred a couple of times to the difficulty of communicating complex issues to the public. And since the campaign has ended, some observers have said that you had a really good message to deliver to the voters, but were somehow unsuccessful in communicating that message. First of all, do you think that's true? Why do you think that is? And do you think Ms. Jacobs out-communicated you in that race?
I give Ms. Jacobs a lot of credit for running an excellent campaign. I am a registered Democrat. It was a rough year. There was a lot of partisanship injected into what was supposed to be a nonpartisan campaign. And for me, Ms. Jacobs, many people that serve in public life, emotions oftentimes overrule facts and logic, especially on very complex issues. The intellectual side of the brain is oftentimes overruled by emotions, and you have a newspaper that controls the flow of information. Other media have only short bites to explain complex things to the public. So again, very difficult when you're trying to be a good statesman, a good commissioner. It's not always in the same league with good politics.
I asked you at the beginning of our conversation about your significant accomplishments. Do you have any regrets, things that you do differently?
You know, I never really think of that. I think some remarks that were taken out of context, you always wish you could get a do-over on that come back to haunt you again. They're taken out of context, and they stay with you and quite frankly, sometimes haunt you. Don't know of any regrets that I can think of offhand. I think promoting myself a little better. We have some commissioners that are masters at self-promotion. They court the press. I never did that until my sixth year on the commission. I believe that my actions should speak for themselves. Some of the other commissioners really have a knack for press agentry, and probably something I should have done a little better.
So what's next for you? Are you going back into the home building business or the restaurant business, or what are you going to do now?
Tom, you know, that's very interesting. Everybody said, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And I say what I did for 40 years, and it's whatever walks in the door, whoever's on the other end of the telephone line. I actually felt like Rip Van Winkle when I came back to my office after a six-year hiatus from the business world. And what I can tell you is lots of things have changed, and a lot of people continue to want to do the same thing. I'm very adaptive. I'm looking for new challenges. The world is vastly different than it was 6 years ago. I don't know if I will be involved in real estate, housing. I did have a chain of restaurants. I think people need to start eating better. I've talked to some people about some food ideas where there are healthier meals, et cetera, et cetera. Don't know where the world will take me, but I'm very optimistic. I'm feeling great. I'm back to the YMCA every day, and a lot of things that I missed out on.
You know, I was interested that you were one of the founding members of the Homeless Coalition. Are you still working with that?
I was. I have done a tremendous amount of civic work over the last 40 years in this community. Not only that, the homeless, the symphony orchestra, the Bar Grievance Committee. I can go on and on. But I think I'm going to take this year, 2011, to dedicate to getting myself back into what I was doing before, you know, earning a living, and then move on again to civic ventures.
So will we be seeing Bill Siegel's name on a ballot in 2012 or 2016?
You know, they say never. But I want to tell you something, Tom, never. I will never run for public office again. It was a very distressing part of my life.
Well, thanks for taking the time to come by and talk to us, Bill, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Tom.